Blog Talk Radio.
Testing 1, 2, 3, testing. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That was our brother Chris Tomlin, holy forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the praise due unto your name. Hallelujah. Holy forever. Hallelujah. That's the way that we look at the Lord, because he is holy forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos of your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio, international radio that goes worldwide. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to get connected to the studio. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Our phone number again is 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Let me give you a little itinerary and disclaimer before we go on with our teaching. So our itinerary is that every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible mystery. And what it is that we read some scriptures and ask a question, and if you come up with the right answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. In this pamphlet, it talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. You know that the tabernacle was also called the Tent of Meetings. It's where God would speak to Moses and the people from the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. And whenever the cloud by day would move, the Tent of Meetings would be taken down, and they'll follow the cloud until it stops. When it stops, they rebuild the temple, the tent of meetings, and they continue with their sacrifices and service in the tent. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's on Sundays at 7 p.m. Same telephone number, same station here on Blog Talk Radio, same telephone number. Glory be to the Lord. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have our intercessory prayer, where we pray for numerous subjects for that 1 hour that we have. On Thursdays, we have Bible study like tonight. And the main topic is, what's next? What do we expect next as Christians, as born-again Christians? What do we expect next? Well, the next event that we expect, we have an imminent expectation of the coming of Christ in the clouds. That's the rapture. With him, God will bring the dead who are sleeping in Christ, and they will rise up first, and they'll be going to the clouds, and we'll be caught up. Those of us that are not have passed through death, we'll be caught up and changed. In a twinkling of an eye, this mortal body was put on immortality. This carnal body was put on incarnality, and we'll meet Christ in the clouds, and we shall always be with him. Hallelujah. And he's going to take us to his Father's house. Glory be to the Lord. That's what we expect in next. There are some subjects that we are talking about and breaking them down a little bit. Like right now, we are talking about the marriage of the Lamb. Part 1 was last week. Today is part 2. And then part 3 will be next Thursday. And next Thursday's part 3 will be the celebration. Hallelujah. We did the first part, which was the betrothal. That's the engagement marriage. Today is the presentation of the bride. And then we have the celebration next week. Hallelujah. Glory. And change our salvation. No, our salvation depends on what Christ has done. And we obey what the scripture says and implement them, and we live accordingly, holy and righteous before God. Okay? So today we're talking about the presentation. You know, when you go to to a marriage, the bride stands outside of the church or wherever you are having the celebration, and the father or someone walks her to the altar, to the front. And that is the presentation. People will look at her and say many things like, oh, she's beautiful. That dress is beautiful. Oh, my goodness. And we bless her for her marriage for today. And we pray that the marriage will last forever and ever and ever. Glory. Because they take the vows, the husband and the wife take vows unto death do us apart. Some people misinterpret that, but you are married covenant with her and with God forever until the Lord takes one of you home or takes both of you in the rapture. Until then, we are married. Glory be to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are we going to be married in heaven? I think we're going to recognize each other, but Jesus said, in heaven, we're not given in marriage. Hallelujah. We're going to recognize each other, but Jesus said in heaven, we're not given in marriage. So there is no procreation there. There's no celebration of marriage. The marriage feast is now. So that's what we're talking about, the marriage of the Lamb. Today is part two, the presentation. Hallelujah. Let us read a little before we go on, and we'll see what this is all about, the presentation. At the proper time, the father will send a proper legal contract. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in the presentation, there are two parts, and we're going to go over each one of them by itself so you could understand what the marriage feast is all about. But let us read Revelation 19:7-8 and see what the Bible says about the marriage. It says, glory be to the Lord. We're going to go to chapter 19 and we're going to go to verse 7-8. And the word of God said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. Hallelujah. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And here we have a revelation and a presentation of who the bride of Christ is, the saints. We are going to be in white apparel, and it's going to be a beautiful time when we have that relationship with the Lord in heaven. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Her wife had made herself ready. Now, you remember when Jesus talking to the disciples, he said that when he comes back, he's looking for a bride whose dress is without a spot or the wrinkle. So, in other words, we as saints, we as the bride of Christ, we should remain holy and righteous before God because Christ is holy. And if you remember one thing, the word of God says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean body. Glory be to the Lord. And sometimes you go to this feast, this marriage celebration, and we see the bride is walking down the aisle. And sometimes, you know, we understand they're getting married, but they don't leave anything for the imagination. Some females buy dresses that expose the cleavage, or some of them expose the shoulders and everything down. Some of them expose the thighs and everything up. And so, you know, I mean, what kind of a bride is that? She's enticing her husband. And if there's a weak male out there, she's enticing him also. Now, is it her fault that they fall for such enticement? I would say 50-50. She is supposed to be in a marriage gown, which is a wedding gown, a wedding apparel. Hallelujah. It says here, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So there's not going to be no seduction there. There's not going to be no allure there, promiscuity, none of that. It's going to be something sacred because there's a covenant. She's walking down the aisle with her father or someone who's going to bring her over to the front. So her garment is spotless and without wrinkles. She is beautiful. She wears a veil to cover herself, and nobody sees her 100% because the veil was covering her. But we know that, you know, people could see right through the veil. And here it tells you that the righteousness, that the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So she's being presented. She is walked down the aisle. She's presented there to everyone. She's presented to the altar. And just like Jesus Christ, he will present us to the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The servants would then lead the bride to the home of the groom's father. That's the second part. When all was ready and the father of the bride would place his hand in the hand of the groom's father, the groom's father would then place his hand in that of his son. Applying this background to the marriage of the Lamb, the church still waits the second phase, which will happen at the rapture. Be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and light, bright. For the fine linen is the righteousness acts of the saints. Revelation 19:7-8. Like the betrothal, the engagement stage, the presentation stage also contains of two parts: the presentation of the proper legal papers and procession of the bride to the house of the groom's father. Now, you might ask, you know, why are we talking about the bride being taken to the groom's father's house? Well, remember, we're talking about a Galilean wedding. We're talking about a Galilean wedding according to the scriptures here. Hallelujah. So let us read 2 Timothy 2:19. Remember, there's two parts to this presentation. The first part is a proper legal document. 2 Timothy 2:19. Let's read that. The proper legal papers will be shown. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows who is his. So the proper legal documentation. When we become born-again Christians, when we become saved, one of the very first things that we do is we have our Bible and we hug it and we kiss it, because we know that in it, you know, God is speaking to us and he has given us a lot of promises, and we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to him. So the Bible is our proper legal document. It is our marriage vows. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And my wife and I, we got married in December 31st of 2012. And I remember that first we had to go to City Hall. We went to City Hall and the clerk there married us civilly. And we signed the paperwork and everything. And we was over in marriage. You know, we're married. If we wanted to elope or we wanted to live together, we could have, because we was legally married there. But we waited because we're children of the living God. And, you know, one day we had the service and, you know, she was outside. The church where we went wasn't a large church. And so she was standing outside. And my son, who was of very young age, maybe 10 years old, He will begin by saying, the bride is coming, the bride is coming. And through the doors, my wife came into the doors dressed so beautiful in white apparel with the red sash in her, down in her waist. Glory be to the Lord. How, not up in the chest, because remember, you know, we're getting married and the sash would go to her waist. And she walked in, and I'm waiting for her, and I'm at the altar waiting, and she's walking in, and at that time it was her son who brought her in, and her son was there at the altar. She walked in, and my son kept saying, the bride is coming, the bride is coming. So there's a presentation there. And prior to the service, prior to the marriage service, I remember that she and I had to sign again the marriage contract. And this time the Apostle Whitaker, who was the person who married us, he signed his name to that contract. That's an everlasting contract. It's a covenant between ourselves and a contract between us. We have a covenant with God. And there was something that my wife said that would be very, very nice to do as well. And I didn't know about it. You know, I read the Bible so many times, but, you know, maybe I gloss over this. But she said, why don't we also do the sword covenant? Sword covenant, I said. But what it is that a member of my family and a member of her family takes the cups of salt, white salt, and they pour it into one cup. And both theirs and ours, salt, got mixed up together. You can't tell which belongs to whom, because that salt covenant, the two become one. And it's a type of representation of what the covenant that we were doing. We were also taking a covenant of marriage vows that said we're no longer ourselves. We've been bought with a price. We belong to each other now, and we become one. That's what Adam said. The father, the man will leave the father, will join to his wife, and they too become one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when the proper legal documents are signed, you know, the ceremony could begin, and that's what Apostle Whitaker did. Once we signed it, the ceremony began at that evening at 7 o'clock. It was actually New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. that we got married, and she was dressed in her beautiful white garment, not a spot, not a wrinkle. Hallelujah, with the red sash. And I had a light color suit on also, as well, white, and with the red tie, signifying the white, signifying the purity in Christ Jesus, and the red signifying the blood that covers us. Hallelujah. So we wore the colors of the Lord in our marriage. And that was the proper documentations, because if you don't have the proper documentations, when you pick it up at City Hall, or you don't have them signed when you do the ceremony, then there is no marriage. You need the proper documentation to be legal. And it's good for you to hold a copy or put the original in a safe, and your wife and yourself have a copy of it, so you have it stored away, and you know that you have a legal document. Same thing with our Bible. Our Bible is our legal document. When we accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior and cried out for forgiveness, when we repented of our sins, the Bible became our legal document. That was our marriage contract. Hallelujah. And we accepted it. We keep it with us. And, you know, not like in civil marriages where people just put the paperwork away and they say it's just a piece of paper. But it's more than that. It's a covenant. It's a covenant between you and her. It's a covenant between the couples there, and a covenant between the couple and God. Hallelujah. Nothing's supposed to separate you. There are limitations, and they're in the Bible. We will not go into that. That's another teaching in itself. But she is received the legal document. The husband received the legal document. They signed it, and we both sign it, and the apostle signs it. And we know that we're marrying this person, and that person is marrying us. So just like the word says, the Lord knows who is his. So when in 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows who's his. That's because of the proper document. And in spirit, Jesus sealed us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. He translated us from, the Father translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. He made us part of the family of heaven. We are considered sons and daughters of our Father. We are joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, because we have the proper legal document. And, you know, the Hamas is fighting Israel for the land. They attack Israel. But if they go back to the records, they're going to come across a legal document that King David signed to own the property in the whole area. First, he bought the threshing floor, and then he bought the whole land. A legal document. So not only did God give the land to them, but they also bought it legally. And if you remember also when the Babylonians came to destroy Jerusalem and the temple, the prophet Jeremiah also bought a part of land. He bought it legally. So, you know, you have proper documentation, you have proper legal documentations. It is to verify, confirm what is happening. And the proper legal documentation confirmed the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage of his wife. Glory be to the Lord. Jesus signed it in his blood. The Bible says we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And remember one thing, he who knew no sin, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin that we become the righteousness of Christ in him, of God in him. Glory be. So we exchanged position. But, you know, when Jesus resurrected from the grave, he defeated everything, sin, death, the grave. So we are married to a living God. We are married to Jesus. And one day soon, he's going to blow the trumpet. There's going to be a loud shout. The voice of the angel is going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we that remain shall be caught up together in the air forever to be with the Lord. And he's going to take us to his Father's house, to our Father's house. Glory be to the Lord. You know, there's going to be the bema seat. There's going to be the seder meal. And then there's going to be the marriage of the Lamb. We're going to go through that procedure. And here we studied on it. And we have to be ready because we never know when this is going to occur. Now, we're going to read the bride is taken to the Father's house. That's the second part. The bride will be taken to, let me just interject here and just share with you. I would encourage you to see the Galilean wedding. I would encourage you to see the movie The Day Before the Wrath. It talks about the Galilean movie, marriage. And what I want to share with the gate, the father presents the legal documentation, the proper documentations for them to be married. I believe in the Jewish language, it's called the ketubah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the proper legal documentations, you know. And then the husband-to-be presents the diary. We read that last week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we read the husband pays the dowry, which is the cost of the bride. Hallelujah. We know that the first thing that the husband did when he saw the different virgins in the city, he selected his bride. He went to her. He spoke to her. Hallelujah. You know, and then they went to the betrothal stage, which is the selection of the bride and paying of the dowry. And that's what the husband does. He gives to the father-in-law monies or presents to sustain her if something happens to him. And also, and the father keeps it. The father of the bride keeps it because he, you know, that is the price of the bride. And the price that Jesus paid for us was his life, his blood. You know, he loved us so much that he was willing to die. The Bible says that, you know, in Timothy, the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church. And he gave his life for the church. And sure enough, the price that Christ paid at our engagement was his life. He shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If we go to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 14, in verse 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And that's what happened when they got engaged. When the husband and the wife agreed to be married, they got engaged. You know, these days we have engagement rings. But at that time they had, they drank a cup of wine together. If she drank the cup of wine, that means she accepted his proposal. And then he drinks from that same cup and they are engaged. They are married, according to the Jewish traditions. So here Jesus said that in his Father's house of many mansions, he'd go to prepare a place for him. And that's what happened when Jesus was in the Mount of Olives by Bethel. He raised his hands and he ascended into heaven. And the word of God tells us that right now he is seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's praying for all of us. He don't want, you know, God's patience is that nobody will perish, but that all will come to repentance and acknowledge him and leave sin away and become his child. Right? So Jesus departed. He left. We know him after the spirit, but we don't know him after the flesh. Like those disciples and apostles that were here over 2,000 years ago. In verse 3, it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is a Jewish idiom for "I will marry you." So in the Jewish wedding, the day before the rite, you're going to see that that the husband goes and he starts building a room, an addition to his father's house. And only when the father says now will he come to get his bride. That's when they'll get married and consummate their marriage. But not until the father says so, because in the meantime, the husband-to-be is preparing the room, is making sure that everything is right, is making sure that he has enough food for the guests and the bride, because at that time, they will celebrate for 7 days. 7 days, just like if you have your eyes open, your spiritual eyes open, when we are brought to heaven in the rapture, we're going to be with the Lord for 7 years. Because there's going to be 7 years of tribulation here on earth. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, we were not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not going to be here when the wrath of God, when the trumpet sound, when the bowls sound, when the seals are broken. We're not going to be here for those events. We have not been appointed to the wrath of God. So Jesus is coming to get us. He's coming in the clouds, according to Zechariah, and according to Thessalonians, and according to Matthew 24, he's coming in the clouds. So the first time he comes in the clouds, he's coming for his church. The dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. We're going to meet Christ in the clouds, and we're going to recognize who he is, because we're going to be just like him. We're going to receive a glorified body, and he's going to take us to his Father's house, to the third heavens. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the second part of the presentation. The bride is taken to the Father's house. The bride, it doesn't say the engaged person. It's the bride. They're already married. When they sign the contract, they're married. According to Jewish tradition, they are married. So Jesus is going to prepare the room, the mansions, and when the Father says, now, go get your bride, he's coming. And Jesus said, you know, what is it to you? Is it second or third watch? You have to be ready. Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, and we're seeing the calamities that are happening in the world, he says, when you see these things happening, look up, for your redemption draw nigh. And he gave us an instruction. He said, let no man deceive you. And so that's why we're very careful with our Christian living. Let us go on to read what it says. The bride will be taken to the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So here we have the marriage of the Lamb, you know. The documentation has been given. That is our marriage contract. And then the bride is taken to the Father's house. That's part of the rapture. And we have a lot of gifts. If you look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see 9 different kinds of gifts. And if you remember Eliezer, when he went to get a bride for Jacob, remember, for Isaac, when he went to get his bride for Isaac, he took 9 camels of presented that to her, because he was going to ask her and her father and her family, you know, would she come back to live with Isaac, to be married with Isaac. And as we know the story, Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, and there they consummated the marriage. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. You know, and these days you got to make sure that you have signed the proper documents. So the only way you could have the proper documents, which is your Bible, which is your legal paperwork, your Bible, you know, that's your marriage contract, and that is through repentance of your sins. You know, you get baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall be saved. For the forgiveness of sins, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You know, all these things put together, you just can't separate what the scripture says. You got to put them all together and understand the context in the which the Holy Spirit have the men write it. We understand no prophecy is of any private interpretation. So we take all the scripture that talks about marriage. It talks about the covenant of between us and God. And you're going to come away and understand that God loves you very much. He loves us very much. And so this Marriage of the Lamb, the presentation, which is it talks about the proper legal document, and it talks about the bride. It's a type of a marriage. It's a foreshadow. It's a allegory of what a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ used many different examples of marriages as parables to explain spiritual truths. And here we have something that the Lord has given us. So Jesus Christ, besides the Old Testament examples, Jesus Christ was one of the first ones to bring forth the knowledge of the rapture. Because here it says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And you know, if he's going to come in the clouds, to the clouds there, and call us up, you know, that's a rapture. That's not the same as the second coming, which when he comes to Mount Olivet, you know. And I encourage people to study your scriptures. I implore you. No, the Bible says, knowing the terror of God, we employ people. We talk to people. We encourage them. We plead with them, because we don't want no one to miss the rapture. You know, some people believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, which is me and a lot of people. There's people that believe in the mid-tribulation and post-tribulation, you know. And the idea is, no matter when it is, but I believe it's pre-tribulational, but no matter where it is, the main thing is you don't miss the rapture. You don't miss the being together with Christ. You don't miss the marriage feast of the Lamb. You know, a lot of people, you know, they read the scripture and then it's very hard for them to apply it to their life. Why? Because they love their sin. They love where they're at. They don't want nothing to interfere with their activities. The Bible tells us, Corinthians, Paul says, you know, sin doesn't take you unawares. You know exactly what's going on. If you get tempted, let's say with stealing, it's because you stole before. So the enemy comes around and presents things to you and talks to your ear and lets you know, look, nobody's watching. You know, they're not going to miss this little thing. And unless you're strong in the Lord, you're praying, you're fasting, you're studying your Bible, you might fall into that trap. And the Bible says, you know, once sin is conceived, it brings forth death. Once you sin conceives, it brings forth death. And you don't want that, my brothers and sisters. You don't want to be left behind. Yeah, you know, Jesus, the Lord gave the apostles certain revelations, like a dog does not go back and eats the vomit. He talked about an empty clouds with no water. He talks about a ship without a rudder. You know, a double-minded man. He cannot expect anything from the Lord because you're not sure, but you need to come to Christ, and you want to repent of your sins, ask for forgiveness, and when you can, get baptized in the name of Jesus for the remissions of your sins, and then you're going to be part of the marriage feast of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you that phone number again. It's 516-418-5944. Press number one to speak with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you could call us if you have a question, comment, or testimony. It doesn't have to be with what we're talking about in the lesson. It could be anything that's in your heart that the Lord is talking to you. Now, if you want to write it out to the church, we would answer, and it would be wtltabernacle@gmail.com. Let me give you that email again. W WTL, for the way, the truth, and the life, but we abbreviate it WTL, Tabernacle, 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 WTL, Tabernacle, at gmail.com. And when we get that, we will respond back to you as quickly as we can. Glory be to the Lord. Or if you want to speak to the pastor after the program is over, after 8 o'clock, you could call 772-626-3178. That number, once again, 772-626-3178. Glory be to the Lord. Or if you want to call us right here in the studio with Block Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. We're talking about the Marriage of the Lamb, Part 2. There are two parts there to this presentation. And that Part 2 is the presentation. You know, the Bible says that we are to be glad, we are to rejoice, because the bride has made herself ready. She's putting on her clean and white garments, linen garments, and it's these linen clean garments is a right and beautiful. And we know the presentation has two parts. Part one is the proper legal documentation from 2 Timothy 2:19. God knows his own. He knows us. He has called us. The Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit draws you, you cannot be saved. You can't make up your mind and say, today I'm going to be saved. No. When the Holy Spirit touches your heart, wherever you are, whenever you are, the Holy Spirit touches you, born, and you repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your heart. And, you know, that could be done in the services, in a Bible study. It could be done today here on the radio. You know, we could pray for you. And, you know, God has given us his word. He protected his word. There's many different versions of the Bible, but there's only one Bible. There's only one Bible. There's only one word of God. And the only way you're going to find that is you follow Jesus, because Jesus is the word of God become flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. We need the proper legal documentation, which is our Bible. That's our marriage contract. We receive it. We're born again, and we're carrying it. We're studying it every day. We make a commitment to study the Bible. I would recommend that you start in the New Testament. And if you want to go a little bit deeper, I'd recommend you start with the Gospel of John. And then you go from there as the Spirit leads you. That's what I would recommend. John presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God to the whole world. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. The second part, the bride is taken to the Father's house. Why is the bride taken to the Father's house? Well, at that time, we know that the groom or the bridegroom already prepared room in the Father's house. He made an extension. And the father determined, okay, everything is right. Go get your bride. They go, they have the celebration, and they come home. He brings her in and consummate the marriage with her. For 7 days, according to the Jewish traditions, she will be with him 7 days. And if you read Isaiah, it says, come in, close the door behind you until the indignation is past. Talking about the tribulation time. So we understand that those 7 days is, you know, it's talking about 7 years of tribulation that's going to happen on this earth. And when we are taken up to heaven and presented to the Father, there's going to be the wrath of God pour upon this earth where we're not going to be subject to it. God is not, God has not made us subject to the wrath of God. We are to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the bridegroom prepared the room. He made an extension. He went to get his bride. Now they come and they consummate the marriage. And then he presents to the community, because In the Jewish traditions, it's 7 days feast, and it's, he presents her to the community. And that's what Christ is going to do. If you remember, when Christ comes back to Mount Olivet to rescue Israel, he comes with the army of heaven. That's us and his angels. And he's going to come and with the breath of his mouth, destroy the enemy. And he's going to set up his millennium kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you have the presentation of the bride. You have the proper legal documents, and you have the bridegroom or the husband now takes the bride or the wife now takes her to the father's house. And, you know, some people claim, oh, you know, he didn't get a proper home for her because she lives in the father's house. That's because that's where safety is. That's because that's where the tradition is. That's because where the bridegroom is at, we are going to be at. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's going to take us with him. We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever, Jesus Christ. And wherever he goes, we're going to be there because we want it. Glory be to the Lord. So that's the ending for today, the presentation, the Marriage of the Lamb Part 2. Next Thursday, we're going to do Marriage of the Lamb Part 3. It's going to be we're going to be talking about the celebration. We're going to be talking about the celebration and what happens in the 7 days of celebrating or 7 years of celebration. What's going to happen during that time period? And that's what we're going to discover next Thursday. So I would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to the Lord. You know, I didn't give you the disclaimer. The disclaimer is that the music that we play here on Blog Talk Radio, they don't belong to us. The Way, the Truth, and Life, they don't belong to Pastor Raymond. They don't belong to Blog Talk Radio. But because we bought the original CDs and DVDs, in it we have permission to use this song. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So next week, next Thursday at the Bible study at 7 p.m. next Thursday, we're going to do Marriage of the Lamb Part 3, the celebration. And we're going to talk about that, and then we'll go into a different subject after that, and I'll share with everyone next Thursday what's going to be our next subject. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So what we're going to say, because the time is, we got about 4 minutes to go, we're going to say that God loves you very much, and he don't want you to perish. He wants you to be in that number, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes in marriages, when you go to the celebration, you know, they have a book. When you enter in, you put your name there, who's been invited, who comes in as a guest. And, you know, our names will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory be to the Lord. So what we pray is that, you know, you think about what we talked about. You know, you don't want to be left behind. You want to be part of the marriage of the Lamb. Repent. Ask him to come into your heart. You know, be saved and be born again. And ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a church where you're going to grow spiritually and where you're going to be used. Hallelujah. So until next Thursday, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.